You know, it's written somewhere that the one who moves mountains begins by carrying away small stones. I picked up the quote from Phil Knight's biography and the stories of how he founded one of the greatest brands in history. But I'm pretty sure it originated from Confucius, somewhere around 500 BC. At any rate, I can't tell you how much that quote resonates with my life and my path towards becoming, and in many ways, how it applies to today's guest as well, as we talk through his career path and the battles he's fought ever since his early days in kindergarten. Normally, you think about a five-year-old's life and you'd think about toys and coloring books and playgrounds. But you know, that's not always the case. And the fact is, for some of us, that very first introduction into the quote-unquote real world can be quite a jarring experience, especially when it comes to language and culture, and the fact that becoming who we are is quite a complicated task. And so today, I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine, Kelvin Cam, the founder of Sequoia Real Estate. It was just a few months ago that Kelvin and I sat down to continue this conversation of ours that's been ongoing for the better part of a decade. Over time, we've spoken about a lot of topics, everything from fatherhood to social media marketing, but never about his upbringing and about how some of those indelible memories aren't necessarily all that great. What really strikes me about Kelvin's story, though, is the fact that he's never let any of those circumstances keep him down. As a matter of fact, I've come to understand that those memories are very much positive influences on his daily life, and that they're very much part of his ongoing decision to become a better person many times over.
I remember going to kindergarten. I didn't know how to speak, not even a word of English. The teacher asked me a question I couldn't answer. And this is back in the day, right? Imagine this is like 40 years ago, right? And I couldn't answer because I couldn't speak English. So they pulled me outside, maybe stand in front of a flagpole, like I did something wrong, you know, just like I still remember it to today. It's crazy. You know, it's just a little small memory. And I don't know. I don't know if it did anything for me today, but I know that we all go through these little mini challenges, and it does help. It does help build who we are today, somehow, deep down inside.
They say that ideas are a dime a dozen, right? And that none of our ideas are really all that original. And that just makes sense, given how many people there are in this world and how many have come before us, contemplating life and business and prosperity. But then there are those of us who have the drive and that deep-seated courage to go out there and to literally do something about all those thoughts and ideas. And it's those types of people I truly idolize and in many ways hope to be like when I grow up. But if we're being honest, it's so easy to overlook the fact that success is rarely ever easy, and that it truly is about carrying away just one single rock at a time. And we forget that even the founder of a thriving brokerage, a business that's built around people and relationships, and literally being next to others to help them achieve their dreams, that person could have started off speechless, as it were.
I remember in class, like, people ask you to read. We take turns reading, right? Paragraphs from a textbook. So that person, and then it comes to my turn to read, and I can't get a word out because I couldn't start that word. Like, if it's the word the, whatever it is, I just can't start the sentence. I'd just be like stuck. What I told myself to do was like, hey, it seems like I can talk if I can just get going. I just can't get the first word out. So I would just tell myself to say the word like I say I can talk like and then read the sentence. And then as I get more comfortable, I'll say like inside of me so no one can hear it. I'll just like leave it swallow or take a breath or something just to get my mind off of like focusing on that word, and then it'll come out. But I remember that. It's like it's a I wish I knew what triggered that, but I'm glad I got out of it.
So what you're sharing here is kind of blowing my mind, man. It's been, what, over 10 years at this point since our first conversation? And I had no idea you'd gone through these battles as you were coming up and doing your thing. I guess it's just easy to see the outward side of success and to assume that for whatever reason, they've always had it together. But the truth is that the path towards greatness is forever difficult and hard fought. And that success at its very core is earned, right, and never given. Which makes me want to believe that to get to this moment today, you've learned to accept and in many ways incorporate some of your personal weaknesses into the way you operate.
It's funny you say that, man. Like, this is my short answer. I never really dissected this. I think it's because I've always had a challenge with public speaking. So I naturally just, like, you know, I'm just going to ask questions and let someone else speak. And through time, I've realized that the more someone speaks, that person feels like the conversation went well, because they're able to share their thoughts. You know, they're kind of energized, like they're feeling it. I remember these thoughts, like as I was interviewing for jobs, you know, things like that. Like, oh yeah, just ask questions, connect with them, have them share, because everyone has something to share. And even if they don't want to, right, get them out of that shell and have them share. And I guess that's one of the keys to relationship building.
Okay, so I'm starting to connect all the wagons now. And what I'm sensing here is that the challenges you've battled through early on in life, around language and speaking in front of folks, those experiences ended up developing you into a really great, really thoughtful listener. And I don't know about you, but that just makes a lot of sense to me right now. I mean, how much truth is there to that?
Yeah, man, it's just, I don't know if I will ever be comfortable speaking in public. I think some people are. Like, I think you're great, you know, you have that natural skill. And I think with practice, I can feel a little more comfortable, but I really like to be behind the scenes. It's kind of funny. People see me as being out there, but I really like to be behind the scenes. I feel a little more comfortable. Like, this is good for me, like one-on-ones, like just, but out there, like speaking in front of hundreds and hundreds of people, that's just like, whoa. It's a little nerve-wracking.
So now I'm even more curious, and I don't mean to focus this conversation on just your shortcomings, but I think this is going to be really beneficial for those listening in. Tell me more. How else have you seen this challenge with public speaking affect your career and your life at large?
So in college, a bunch of us started an event planning party promotion group. And same thing, I've always taken the back seat. A lot of times with the, you know, give toasts or cheers or speeches at the events, but I always have partners that did that. Every one of my partners were very comfortable speaking. And I just felt really comfortable just taking the back seat, like, oh, it's good. I love this. It's so easy. But you're right, man. It's when you're talking, I just thought about, like, that's my biggest hurdle. That's why I'm not involved with, okay, my excuse for not being involved with all the different things is I don't have time. It's not an excuse, it's reality, but we can always make time, right? We can always, if you're able to focus, you can block time out correctly. But I always tell people, I can't do this and that, or take leadership roles here and there because I want to focus on Sequoia. It does stem from me not being comfortable to speak in front of strangers, like in a big group setting. People see me as a natural networking, but I had to force myself. Like, it's not inside, it's not natural. I'm forcing myself. I remember when I got to college, where I'm trying to join clubs, and fraternities and stuff like that, just interviewing with them. Like I remember I just had to get into that mindset, like, and then it becomes me. Like, I'm going to go in there and just start talking to people, like, just start the conversation. Don't just stand around. Like, just, you got to initiate, no matter how, like, no matter how uneasy it is, you just got to do it. And that's the part. Like, if you make that, if you go in there with that mindset and you start talking, you'll start feeling like you're part of, you're accepted in this conversation. The hard part is, like, so going back to the conversation, when I go into, even nowadays, when we go to business networking events, there's groups of, like, one-on-ones are easy, but you have groups of four. I just feel a little difficult, because I don't think I'm naturally an aggressive speaker. Like, you talked about how there's always someone that wants to take over the conversation. That's just a little too much. And it's hard for me to break it in, because they're already talking to someone else. And I just feel it's hard to interject.
Hey, listen, dude. I find it very humbling to be having a conversation like this with someone as successful as you are, and to not be focusing on the long list of achievements you've managed to pull off, but rather to be breaking down all the decisions you choose to make on a daily basis to become a better person. And I tell you what, that's very telling, and you know that's what this podcast is all about. So if it's okay with you, I want to switch gears a bit and delve into some of your greatest qualities. Because just so that everyone knows, the one thing I remember the most out of our very first conversation, which I believe was at a holiday party, was us talking about leadership and personal development and building great teams.
I think I'm blessed when there's a problem, I like to tackle it right away. Yeah, I don't like it to linger. That's good and bad, you know, because I'm always anxious to resolve it, and sometimes people aren't ready to resolve it. So it's like, that sucks. But I mean, we learn patience then too, right? So I am blessed that I have this skill, I feel like, to knock things out, to like overcome and have a plan in my mind that seems to make sense. So I used to have a little bit of OCD, right? And I think maybe everyone has it at some point in their life, maybe. My dad has a lot of that, and it trickles down. Like, I know my sister has a lot of it. I mean, it never really got in the way of my things. But, you know what? I didn't think back. No, it actually happened back in even elementary school. I remember now. Like, it's when I hear someone reading a sentence, I like it to end in an even count. Or we're standing in line somewhere for something, you know, I like even numbers. Yeah, I think even numbers was always good for me. Like listening to a song, like, end on an even note. Like, it's just, in high school, I remember just, like, checking things. Like, you know, checking the door or a little more. Like, oh, was this? And these are common, I think it's like, it's common things of safety that can lead to issues. Like, oh, checking the stove, right? Like, did I turn off the stove? Like, and then, but, in high school, I just decided thought that this could help. Just when I'm checking something for the first time, just tell myself I'm checking it, and then that's it. I don't have to go back and check it like 10 times, like, and be a little. And I know people kind of get in that funk sometimes. I'm lucky that I was able to break out these little obstacles in my life. You know, it feels good. Like, hey, it works. Yeah. So now I don't really check things anymore.
Just so you know, Kelvin, out of everyone I know, I'm the most envious of you and where you are at this point in your professional journey. Though I haven't been close to the business per se, I've literally seen you grow from being an individual realtor to operating a brokerage of your own and building a platform that allows you to partner with almost 100 realtors at this point. It's kind of crazy, man, and I'm so envious of your ability to affect the lives of so many others on a daily basis, and I just want you to know that.
I tell myself, and I tell our team that the only person stopping you from being great is yourself. I mean, it's as cliche as it is, but it is. I mean, there's really no one in front of you stopping you, man. And it's us creating these thoughts, these doubts. And yeah, we all have these challenges. And that's why when I talk to and try to motivate and coach our agents, I'm learning, because I can apply what I'm saying to myself. Like, it's like, what am I doing sitting here on my chair? I should get off my ass and start knocking things out. There's a couple people in my life that constantly motivates me. And I think one reason, because they're really blunt and they don't really care about my feelings. They just tell me how it is. And yeah, I have someone that constantly just tells me, like, don't think about it. You know, just like you said, I don't see that, you know, you're tripping. I mean, I'm proud of my brand, you know, myself, our company, but maybe that overanalyzing, it's almost pointless, right? It's like, it's sometimes, because I do see a lot of people I respect, like, their English is probably not as good as mine, and they don't care. And that's, I think that's the attitude, like, and I, part of it, right? I mean, you could not care to a certain extent, right? But they're confident. I guess that's the word, confident. They're just going to speak no matter how they sound. It's like they let their actions kind of carry on, and they tell the story, like who they are, you know, what they've done and what they're capable of. So I guess I get too stuck on the words, because I do appreciate someone that can speak, you know, eloquently. It's just, it's holding me back a little bit. You know, it's I tell my partners, I tell our agents that they should be on stage more, you know, and for a while I've always tried to elevate our agents to speak more and to take more leadership roles. And it's, again, partly because I think it's good for them, for sure. And I don't want to be always the person in front, right? And because I also feel if I do that, it indirectly prevents others from, they can kind of rely, oh, you know, Kelvin's doing it, I don't need to do that role, and you know, I can do my own thing. So indirectly, it does prevent, if not done right, it can prevent others from growing, because, you know, you got to create space for others to step up. But I also see myself, oh, am I just also not allowing myself to grow to my potential? Because it's almost like an excuse, like, oh yeah, I just let this agent do it because, you know, they like the limelight. Or like, hey, this guy speaks better, let him do it. And I think all that should work too, but it shouldn't stop me from growing too. Yeah, I mean, like, just that's probably one thing from this conversation today that hopefully I can put some things in motion to be out there to speak more on stage and share more about our company. And I think that'll just, I mean, there'll be no negative to that, except me just being a little nervous before the talk. You know, I think another thing I'm learning today is, you know, there's enough to share. I think people want to listen. So I think from this, it's a good reminder that whenever I do get a next opportunity to speak, just take it like I did today.
Like always, I asked Kelvin about his thoughts on how we can make tomorrow a better version of today. And it was pretty good, so we actually produced a short clip for him to share with his folks. And I was thinking it'd be a fun way to wrap up today's show. So here's some sage advice to take us home. You're listening to A Better Tomorrow with Sequoia Real Estate. This week's pro tip comes from Kelvin Cam.
You know, stop thinking about the what ifs. Stop thinking about if you can do this, because you have the tools. If you don't, people are there to support you. Whether you're friends, family, someone's out there to help. Sometimes you just got to talk to yourself in the mirror. You got to just stop overanalyzing and trying to make everything perfect. If the overall project's too big, then just trim it down. And what's the first task you need to do? So just knock that out and be committed to that. And once you do that, every day, every week, it becomes part of you. And in the next month, you look back, it's like, man, I really made it happen. So it's about taking that first step. Don't look back. Keep moving forward. It's like having that coach. I'm trying to work out every day, but I'm slacking, man. But if I had a coach call me up, like, you know, at 9 a.m., did you go work out today? There's a higher chance I'm going to do it because you can't let that person down. So same thing with us. You got that idea, make sure you have someone there along the way to keep you in check.
You know, I look around and I admire most those who've actually chosen not to walk the easy road, but rather to pave for themselves a path that's both meaningful and unforgettable. And those who are brave enough to define for themselves what success truly means, unflustered by the many silly beliefs that society has constructed around what it means to be happy, to be proud, and to be great in this world. So as I look back on the first handful of guests we've had on this podcast, I can't help but marvel at how lucky I am to have such uniquely impressive friends in my life like Kelvin. Lately, though, I've been thinking that it might be more than simply luck. What if, in the pursuit of my own dreams and my own understanding of success, what if we were always meant to be? What if it wasn't so much luck, but rather destiny that led to my conversation with Kelvin, that led to me having the privilege of sharing, that led to you listening here today? I know it's quite heady, and perhaps we'll tackle these thoughts on another episode, but for now, what I know is that being around people like Kelvin Cam makes me a better person, and for that, I'm forever thankful. You know how it is, fam. If you're new to this podcast, welcome home. We're shipping this episode at the beginning of summer this year, so I'm hoping y'all are out there spending the days with your beautiful families and taking in the moment. We're hoping you enjoyed this episode and that you'll be adding us to your playlist. If you'd like to collaborate on a personal or professional development project, reach out on LinkedIn or good old-fashioned email at info@lockwin.com.